Welcome in! Latest episode of that SEC podcast. I'm your host, Mike Brenton. Go by SEC Mike on the Twitters. And there he is, everybody's favorite cousin, Cousin Shane. How's it going, brother?
Hey, mate, what's going on?
Oh, I always know, Shane, when I'm in for a wild ride, when I reach out to you and say, hey, buddy, how about you pick the show topic for today? So I had no idea where we were going with this one. Shane picked an excellent one. The top Heisman Trophy candidate from each SEC team. And I made him go a little step further because I just said, well, hell, wouldn't it be the quarterback for everybody? So, yeah, obviously we'll hit on the quarterbacks, but also like an alternative option.
Yeah.
Just because I think we all know by this point in time, Shane, that Heisman is, it pretty much is, you know, best quarterback on the best team.
Yeah.
So we're going a step further and actually evaluating who could have the best players and biggest impact on the season next year, if that makes sense.
It does, Mike. And honestly, when you said no quarterbacks, I had to scrap half my list here. So, because I've already crowned a few of them, but I am with you, man. And it seems like I talk about this every single year, but a Heisman, in my opinion, goes to a player that is crucial to that football team. Like, if removed, you're probably getting an extra two losses or three losses, something like that. And I feel like Heisman is kind of like prom king and queen still. You know, they're not a lot of effort goes into the voting process, which is sad, but not on this show, Mike. On this show, we're going to honor who we think could be not only a breakout player, but potentially a breakout SEC player that could win a Heisman. So they're going to be on every team. So we're going to have Mississippi State one. We're going to have Vandy one. So just buckle up and be ready.
Yeah. All right. You just want to dive in or anything else, Shane? Golf update, weight loss update, any other updates before we get in to this top Heisman candidates from each team?
No, I mean, I took the day off, Mike. I thought about going out there golfing. I was like, ah, God. But I will say this, got home, cooked some chicken, made some like grilled chicken tacos. It was really good, really healthy. And, you know, it's a lifestyle, brother. And, you know, this physique wasn't made overnight. It Rome wasn't built in 3 days, as they say. So it is a process. And but other than that, man, I needed a maintenance day. So I thought about calling in, but I forgot you were in the group text when I sent that.
Can I take a wild guess to what actually happened?
Yes, please.
You saw how hot it was and humid, and you were like,
it was hot as hell. I didn't even want to grill. I didn't even need to grill. I could have just laid the chicken out there and it would have cooked up eventually. But no, it's funny because we do this, Mike. We bitch and complain when it's really cold and wet. We're like, oh man, it sucks. It's so cold and wet outside. And then there's like 4 or 5 wonderful days out of the year where it's just like perfect temperature and everything. And then it switches over to heat. And usually those 4 or 5 days you have to work or something, you know, it's like, you didn't even get to appreciate it, but I cannot complain. Seriously. I complain too much about the cold weather. I'm glad the heat is here, but boy, it is powerful right now.
Yeah. Well, hey, hit us up with a donation if you want your team highlighted. If not, you know, totally optional. We will get to it. We're going to hit on each and every SEC team here. So Shane, anywhere you'd like to start?
Well, I say we just start alphabetical order until we get a cousin or a donation.
Okay, so we're going Bama. Candidates to win a Heisman Trophy from the Alabama Crimson Tide, Shane. So again, obviously we could just say, well, who's the starting quarterback? Bama, there you go. Ty Simpson, Keelan Russell, the freshman. More than likely, I get it. That'll probably be, if Alabama has a Heisman Trophy winner, you know, they're obviously going to have a great season, and more than likely it's going to be the quarterback that gets highlighted. But let's go a step further and say, you know, who's a player that could kind of come out of the shadow of the quarterback? And for me, this one was pretty easy. Did you? I feel like you have a layup here.
Yeah, this is a layup. And in fact, he's been in the news here lately because he's He went on Coach Gruden's podcast there. Great. I don't know. Gruden's all over the place. Every time I get on Twitter, damn, Gruden's doing something, opening up a box of something. But he went on there. Ryan Williams talked about the upset against Vanderbilt. They asked him, you know, what's going to happen next year? And he says, we're going to pretty much smash them like an ant with a sledgehammer. You know, of course, Pavia responded. He did not, you know, Pavia, he ain't going to take no shit from nobody, especially from a team he beat. But I think this year, brother, is a big step forward for Ryan Williams. It kind of surprised me that he hit it that hard last year. But usually year two is when these guys really start to shine. I think there's a real shot that he's going to be on a short list toward the end of this season if Kalen's offense hits like we think it will.
Mm, well, that's where I'd go too, Shane, but yeah. I'm going to critique that as well.
Okay.
I'm talking out both sides of my mouth here. I'm going to throw up. Not throw up, but I'm going to show this is his stats from last season, right?
Yeah.
You know, again, he was a true freshman. He was dynamic. Everybody remembers the Georgia game. I mean, my goodness, what a showcase that was. He had another crazy highlight reel against Vanderbilt. But again, and I'm not trying to take away from anything. I mean, he was a true freshman. He burst onto the scene and we all said, my God, this guy's fantastic. But I don't like it, Shade, personally, when you lose to Vanderbilt and you're out here running your mouth. I don't like it when you got 8 yards in a bowl game and you get embarrassed by Michigan. Now, is that all on him? No. But come on, you got to have more than 8 yards when your team needs you.
Yeah.
He had 53 in the Iron Bowl. He had 37 when you got smashed by Oklahoma. Again, was that all on him? No. His quarterback play, it's a lot of things. 36 yards against Mercer. Again, they didn't need him in that one. The LSU, they smashed him, but only 29 yards. And Missouri, again, smashed them too, but 53 yards. I mean, he just vanished the final month and a half, 2 months of the season.
Yeah.
I don't like all this talk, Shane. I don't like it. Maybe I've turned into the old man we used to make fun of, but you gotta do more than that the final month and a half of the season if you're going to be running your mouth, I think.
No, I agree. But again, he became the only part of that offense, and brother, they were dialed into him. So I really believe that year two is when they find, you know, this is an opportunity. They got plenty of talent. He's not going to be the only athlete out there on the perimeter anymore. And I feel like because of that, some other players are going to shine, but he's going to get his, man. Yeah, you can't hold some of these guys down. And I'm telling you, brother, I just feel in my bones that this is a kind of a breakout season for him, even though I thought it was kind of a breakout last year. You know, it's like, but I just feel like that's what we're going to get in year two here.
Oh, Shane, we got a couple of donations here, but shout out cousin Tony. Shane just gave us $100.
Damn. Thanks, Tony. Appreciate Tony, that.
What a legend you are.
What the heck does that say?
So proud of Shane's weight loss. He's enough for...
Here's rounds of golf at Bent Creek. You may have your own beer. You may have to buy your own beer. Tony, Bent Creek, so that's a Gatlinburg. I've not been there. That's a fancy golf course. You know what I'm saying? I got to hone my skills before I can go to some of these fancy ones, but $100 will definitely pay for that. So I appreciate you, cuz I really do. And I'm going to get up there. Maybe we could go play together.
Now we're talking. So I believe cousin Tony's a Tennessee fan, right? Or is he Mizzou?
I think Tony's Georgia, but I don't want to misquote. I don't want to say it. We'll let him come back in. He's going to be here in a second. So
yeah, let us know, Tony. I apologize for not knowing, but cousin Brandon, Shane, he gave us $5, and he gave us a donation first, $5. So let's do Ole Miss, and I think I always forget. I got these. I don't have them all. Okay, sorry. So let's do Ole Miss, Shane. Ole Miss again. Austin Simmons is certainly, if he's, again, remember, my ass is going to be doing hot yoga every day, Shane. If Austin Simmons comes out here, I don't know if you remember that wager or not, but if Austin Simmons comes out here and he's elite, obviously, he's your candidate to be a Heisman Trophy candidate from the Ole Miss Rebels. But we're trying to go a step further from just the quarterbacks, and I'm going, now there's a little wild card.
Yeah.
Again, we're replacing a ton on the offensive side of the football. Quite frankly, they're replacing a lot on defense too. But I think not news to Ole Miss fans and not news to SEC fans that actually follow this stuff outside of their own team. Ole Miss kind of becoming a little bit of a defensive juggernaut, Shane.
Oh.
So it's pretty rare, right, that a defensive player has any shot at winning the Heisman. And I know this is an outlier, but give me Suntarine Perkins, Shane, the pass rusher extraordinaire. I think he's emerged as one of the best defenders in the SEC in 2025. I love him. And again, is it likely he's going to win the Heisman? Probably not, but the way they're going with the defensive side of the football with Pete Golding, give me a little wild card on Suntarine Perkins. What do you think about that?
When do you think, you know, obviously defensive players don't get enough respect, in my opinion, especially right. when we're talking Heismans here. Unless there's a Tennessee quarterback up for you know, a race here, but then all of a sudden we want to put a defensive player in there. But I'm just curious, do you think, I think we see one here within the next 10 years. I think we see a guy that emerges on the defensive side. Don't you think there's got to be for all these changes that are happening with NIL and stuff, you think Heisman would finally kind of reevaluate as well. Do you think we'll have maybe a defensive lineman as a Heisman winner anytime?
No.
No.
Yeah. But I mean, technically last year he was a two-way player, but the Colorado guy, I don't think that's fair to call him a defensive player, even though he was apparently
just
out.
Play every position and then we'll give you. That's a one-off.
But no, I mean, I think they should honor. I think they should give it to the, if there's a defensive lineman, I don't care if he has zero sacks, if he's like the immovable force and he's blowing up run games and people got a scheme around him, I think he should win the Heisman. But no, I don't think if you don't have gaudy stats, if you don't have, you know, 15, 20 sacks, I don't even think they'll consider you, unfortunately.
What about offensive linemen? You know, them big guys. I haven't seen since Orlando Pace. I don't think I've seen one on the list, have we? So
no.
Okay. All right. I digress. I think you're right. I do think that Ole Miss has kind of switched to a defensive team, which is awesome and unexpected. Honestly, when I think of Lane Kiffin, the last thing I think about is a defense. I think about a great quarterback or, you know, some wide receivers emerging or maybe even a good running game. But I can't argue the fact that picking somebody on defense, but I'm going to. brother. I'm going to go wide receiver here. You know who I'm picking. And that's what's funny about this situation. It's last year coming in, we were all excited about the Ole Miss wide receiver core. I know I was. I thought, man, this is the
juice.
Best. Yeah, I mean, hook, line, and sinker. But I think we didn't even really recognize who may have been the best athlete over there. So give me Caden Lee here, man. I just think that this is a guy that will be all over the football field. And it's look for him to probably get the most touches other than a running back on that football squad, because you're going to have a safety net. And I know Ole Miss is going to get back to the running game, but I think Lee is going to be a focal piece on that offense and a check down for Simmons for sure. So give me Lee for Heisman.
Okay. And then Cousin Tony hit us up, Shane. I know of all what I see one, Shane. He's a Tennessee homer just like you. So he gave us a huge donation. Let's do Tennessee. And no, Shane, you can't say the entire damn team that I know you want to say, but I got a couple good ones for Tennessee. Do you want me to go first or do you want to go first?
Well, I'll just go ahead and get out of the way. And there's no scientific background. I mean, there's no stats. There's no nothing. This is just emotions. And
you didn't do a scientific.
No, I mean, I put it in my computer. It kept spitting it back out. And I said, no, this has got to work, you know, because this guy got so excited about last year. And I just felt like given the current quarterback situation, we didn't get to see potential like we did with some of these other freshman wide receivers. You know who I'm talking about, Mr. Matthews. Come on down. I was so excited when this kid decided to sign up at the University of Tennessee. And you remember where we were at? We were in Nashville and
Rusty.
It wasn't Rusty. It was
No, I promise it was Rusty because Mike Matthews from Georgia.
I mean, he had me.
And
he
when Mike Matthews was like thinking about going to the portal, it was because Georgia was like, hey, why don't you come home to Athens? You know,
I'll tell you what, brother. I was so excited about after that. That made the event for me because I came down. I couldn't wait to see this kid in action, and we never got to see it. But I think we see it this year. We got a gunslinger. You know, his name's not Nico, but by God, he's going to throw the football. And I hope Matthews is at the end of that. And if Tennessee's going to have the success that I hope they have, they're going to have some success down the field. And Matthews is the perfect candidate for that.
Yeah, I like that option, Shane. I have that written down, but I got one better, I think.
What's that?
And we just saw it at old Colorado. Just play every position, right?
Mm-hmm.
Give me Boo Carter, Shane.
That's a good, yeah.
Apparently, that's the plan. You know, one guy at Colorado does it. Now everybody wants to play both ways. So Boo's going to play receiver. He's going to play defensive back. He was a standout. He was all SEC freshman as a defensive back last year at Tennessee. He returns punts. I mean, that's the pieces you need, right? He's got to stand out. He's got to make plays on offense. He's going to have to make plays in special teams to even get considered. But I think Boo Carter, just based on the 1 year we've seen him, I think he's a special, special player. And if Tennessee's going to do anything, Shane, I think it's going to be players like this that are going to have to step up and make some big time plays for them Vols. So I like Mike Matthews. I think that's probably a more logical choice. But I'm liking these wild cards. So give me Boo Carter.
Well, if this show had a Heisman candidate, you know who'd be leading the board right now, Mike?
I got a feeling it's the legend JR.
Cousin JR coming through, missed him earlier, invited legend. Someone
Cousin
to the family.
JR has done it again.
All right, let's see who he donated to, Shane, by YouTube's updating here. But the legend JR has gifted a membership to, drumroll, it's still not.
Like Christmas Vacation. Real nice. It's real nice, Clark.
Damn it. Someone help me out here. I can't see it. I think we, because it took so long, I missed it. Let's see.
No. I'm still waiting for the cousins here. We got a little delay. Mike put that in so I don't say anything bad. I'm seeing. No, still arguing about who's the best quarterback over there. Yeah, this is a real family, you know? when you can fight about them cornerbacks from 30 years ago, you know, you're a damn family member. So podcast Cam, I keep seeing Cam. Oh, Cam got the sub, so it is
okay. Cam,
welcome to the family.
Thank you, the legend JR, and thank you, Liquid, for letting us know.
Welcome to the family.
I mean, if that's not further evidence, we need some help putting this damn thing together. You know what?
Hell yeah, man. I tell you what, I appreciate all the cousins hanging out. I was on an Arkansas show earlier today, and they're saying, what are you doing to get through the off season here? I'm like, man, the off season never hit. It feels like this is just rolling, brother. You know what I'm saying? I feel like this is college football and this is what it's all about, because we love shit talking. And you got half of us talking about last year because we won, or half of us talking about the year coming up because we're going to win. You know, so that's what I love about college football. It's just something that we can argue about all year long.
All right, so the legend JR, he's obviously likes Georgia. So let's do Georgia for JR. Shane, is there obviously Gunnar Stockton?
Yeah,
I'm starting to come around, Shane. I think Gunnar Stockton is, I think he might be the most underrated quarterback. Hell, I think I've said that about like six quarterbacks. He's the most underrated coming back from last year. Him and Marcel Reed and maybe three or four others. But I really think he's going to put together a nice season, and he's a logical candidate. But is there anyone other than Gunnar, you know, like an option B for them dogs to be a Heisman winner next year?
You know, when I think about Georgia Bulldogs, I used to think about running backs, but I don't anymore, Mike. I think about defense, and this is the only defensive player I picked right here was KJ Bolden. I feel like This is a dude. There's an interesting stat out here. I want to read this to you. Notably, he has only he allowed 8 yards in 134 coverage snaps last season.
What?
Or say that again. He allowed 8 yards in 134 coverage snaps last season. Now, obviously, he kind of lived in the shadow of another Georgia great, but I think that this is the year that KJ Bolden takes his step forward and becomes that next dog that, you know, yeah. We're talking about the next 20 years. This guy's absolutely unbelievable. Again, you know me, Mike, I'm not big on giving defensive players, even though I just said they should get them more often. I'm not big on doing it, but if anybody's leading that list, it's this man right here.
Yeah. And one thing you didn't reference, he was a true freshman.
Yeah.
I mean,
yeah.
My goodness, coming into this conference, but playing next to Starks, like you said, Starks, you know, the star, now he's in the NFL. Now Bolden's going to be the next, you know, he was all freshman. Now he'll be all American this year. That's a hell of a selection. I feel bad, Shane. I think I missed because I think your answers are way better than mine. But, you know, we had Rusty in studio. Go check it out if you missed it not that long ago. And he said, buddy, keep your eye on old Dylan Bell. Come on, Shane. They've just not figured out how to use this guy right. Should it be a receiver? Should it be a running back? But to me, I think they'll use him right this year. Last year, he had 466 receiving yards, and he had 107 rushing yards and 5 offensive touchdowns. You know, if he can do a little bit of both, because they may need him to, and he's just kind of like, you know, your weapon all over. Remember, like Brock Bowers, clearly he's not Brock Bowers, but Brock right. Bowers, they were using him around the edge and doing reverses. They get creative down there in Georgia. So,
yeah.
If they could get creative with Dylan Bell and have him score and affect the game in a wide variety of ways, I think Dylan Bell is a little bit of a wild card to keep your eye on.
You know, and you know, we're not talking quarterbacks here, but, you know, Gunner's got a lot of weapons. You know, you don't forget Branch. He's another guy, speed demon, that they're going to find ways to get him the football. Sometimes those are the guys that kind of splash you. You know, if you're playing special teams or if you're coming out of the backfield, that's what he'll do. And Noah Thomas, I don't even know if he's in the starting lineup, but I'll tell you right now, this damn guy is got it. And if given the opportunity, is another one that can stretch the football field and be a huge factor for them Georgia Bulldogs. So there's a lot of easy, sneaky picks on this football team, but that's why I probably went defense, because there was too many to pick from on the offense side of the football.
Shane, isn't it funny? You know, people question, you know, Georgia, do they got the weapons? Oh, just go get A&M's top receiver. Just go get Southern Cal's top receiver. Oh, by the way, we got Dylan Bell coming back. And oh, by the way, we added a couple 5-stars. You know what I mean? Like, literally anybody else in the country would that would be an upgrade over their room. There's people questioning whether Georgia's got the guys to get it done.
And Kirby's still not happy, you know?
But I'm happy, Shane. For Zo_V, Shane, there's only one name we need to talk about when it comes to Heisman. Arch Manning. This must be Stephen Lassen's code name here. Because Shane equals Arch FC President. Hook him. So let's do Texas for old Zo, Shane, here. Of course, Arch Manning, God's gift to football. He's going to be the name to know all season long. And how about this, Shane? I didn't realize this. Little sidebar.
Mm-hmm.
But I heard this. I was listening to another podcast. I love the Audible, Bruce Feldman and Stuart Mandel. They had a guest on who's writing a book that is about to come out.
Yeah.
I just thought this was interesting. Arch Manning, when he was obviously coming up, you know, I worked for a publication. They like literally everything Arch did in eighth grade, you know, big play wise, we had to write a damn article on it. The kid was covered like no one ever before. When he was coming up to be recruited, no one was allowed to reach out to Arch. They had to go to his high school head coach, and they said it was like the old school. The Mannings wanted it to be old school, to where you had to go to the head coach, and then the head coach would determine whether you were worthy enough to talk to Arch. I just thought that was pretty interesting. In this era of, like, you know, all the social medias and the TikToks and all this, the Mannings went reverse. But again, that's got nothing to do with anything. But I just thought that was pretty interesting.
I like old school. Older I get, the more I appreciate it. You know, I remember when I was a kid it was a highlight to go to a video store and pick a movie. You know what I'm saying? It's like mom and dad got their movie. We got ours. And then we got one of those in-between movies where we both can kind of meet in the middle. But it was like an event. And kids these days, they don't know it. It's all point click, you know. Sorry, there's my...
Oh, and one more thing from that podcast. You know, go check it out. Wait till we're done. But I thought this was fascinating, too. Yeah, one of the reasons they said Arch picked Texas?
Yeah.
I never heard this before. You know, obviously, Sarkisian, you want to play in the offense, get to the NFL, all that jazz. But one of the reasons they said he thought go into Austin, Texas, mm-hmm. he could kind of fly under the radar a little bit more than, say, if he went and played in Oxford, Mississippi, or even Athens, Georgia, which... I never thought of it like that, but that, again, he's going to be a superstar wherever he's at, but in a big city, maybe he could fly under the, you know, if he's in the same room with Joe Rogan, nobody cares about old Arch with Joe, you know what I
mean? That's a good point. I mean, seriously, his ass ain't going to the grocery store not getting recognized, you know what I'm saying? But I do see where you're coming from. There's probably a few areas that he could go to and maybe 10% of the audience. You know, you go to Knoxville, right. Tennessee, there is no way you're getting through there. You can't go to West Town Mall and not be spotted, you know what I'm saying? So I get where he's coming from.
And they also, last thing, we can move on. And they said Peyton's son, Shane.
Yeah. He should have went to Vanderbilt.
He's in the ninth grade. He's coming up, buddy. So future Vol quarterback there for you.
Yeah, absolutely. Yeah. I was just thinking the most unrecognized would be Nashville. I mean, Austin, I get that. But Nashville, I think he could get away, don't you? Or do you think – I've never been to Austin.
Austin's bigger than Nashville. But I like Nashville better, though.
Damn, I got to go. I got to check this out.
It's too hot down there.
Yeah, I won't like it, will I? Mm-mm. No. Is there a time of the year that it's like kind of good?
I go in February. It's kind of nice there.
Snowbird to Austin.
So who's your, obviously it's Arch, but other than Arch, who's your Texas Heisman candidate?
Well, this is your fault, man. Because you kept talking about Wingo the other day, and I was just like, he's right. And I was going to be kind of smart and just do something different. But I think that's our guy. I believe that's if Arch has the success we think he's going to have, there's going to be a dude in that wide receiver room that just blows up. And it's going to be Wingo, man.
Yeah. Yeah, I knew you'd say that, Shade. So I went Trey Wiser, the running back. Come on, Shade, over 1,000 rushing yards, over 300 receiving yards. And I saw someone today said, hey, Texas bold prediction, going to lead the SEC in rushing, you know, all this attention on Arch. I thought that was pretty, that was an interesting take, given that their offensive line will be, you know, totally rebuilt, but they got a hell of a lot of talent down there. So I'm not saying that, but that made me think that maybe old Trey Wiser, while everybody's looking at Arch, your running back could kind of have a field day. Does that make sense?
Yeah, absolutely. Tony says, you know you wanted to go in the back room for your DVD.
Hey, Liquid Buddy, he gave us a donation, Shay. So let's do Florida next. And I think he nailed it. Where would you go? Obviously, DJ Lagway is the guy. But if it's not DJ, mm-hmm. I think I got the perfect one. Who do you think is another option for them Florida Gators?
Let's see. I think he's right. I you know, one of the things that I loved about Jaden is how he ended the season last year. You know, this, we talk about how Florida kind of captured that momentum at the end of the season. Well, a lot of that was because of him. You know, last seven games, he had over 520 yards rushing. So this is a guy that is expected to take that big step forward this season. And honestly, if the Florida Gators are going to have the success that we think that they could have, they have got to establish the running game, man. That's Billy Napier's bread and butter. And I think that's why I've got him on here. It's not so much of a committee anymore. It's his show.
How about Cousin Bend Over? He says it's going to be Harrison Bailey. He had like 9,000 yards at the spring game.
Oh, my gosh. Yeah, I almost picked, was it Dallas? You know, it's like I just bought into the hype as well.
Yeah, it's Jaden Ball, but I do got another wild card.
Yeah.
if Billy's DNA was a little bit different, give me Trey Wilson. You know, he could do it all. He can run. He can catch. I think he's dynamic. He's like Percy Harvin light. I would never compare anyone to Percy Harvin. I think Harvin was so special, but he's that type of player. If he could stay healthy, I think he's going to have a hell of a year. But you're absolutely right. It's Billy. It's in Billy Napier's DNA to they want to be ground and pound.
Yeah,
they want to limit the game. Hell, someone told me one time, and I thought it was a perfect saying, Shane. Billy Napier.
Yeah,
it don't matter if he's playing Tennessee, Georgia, or Troy. He doesn't want to win 40-0. He wants to win 28-27. You know, like he wants to not score a lot, limit possessions. I kind of personally, I hate that kind of football. And I think that could doom him in Gainesville because they want points. But he just loves, he loves a close ball game, apparently.
Brother, there's been plenty of Billy Napier games that, like you said, it should be a blowout, but it's not.
Right.
And then you catch yourself. I don't know if he's just trying to keep up the viewership, because some of those games I was hoping to turn off by the third quarter, yet there I am in the fourth, like one bad drop and Florida's losing this thing.
So we got someone said you should go on Joe Rogan's podcast. I'd love that. Cousin Morgan says you should go on Kill Tony. Have you ever watched Kill Tony? Do you know what that is?
I've seen segments and those guys get butchered. I don't know if I want to get my fat ass up there. They probably roast me, but I mean Rogan, obviously. He got me through COVID, I think, you know, listening to 3-hour shows, but now I don't have as much time to listen, but definitely one of those would be pretty cool.
I think you do fantastic on Kill Tony.
So, yeah, they're all down there.
They're trying to get you down there. That's what it is.
It's the barbecue for me. It's the food. You know, I'm not gonna sugarcoat this thing, Mike. I'm a big guy. I like to eat. And every time you go down there, that's what you tell me about. I get pictures daily about what you know. I can always tell. You go down to Destin, zero pictures. I'm like, Mike had a bad time culinary-wise. But Texas, every single day I get voodoo donuts. I get a picture of some barbecue. I get a picture. So I know. And Mike always picks out the restaurants for us. So when we go somewhere, if Mike picks it, he's done research. He does so much research for football, times 10 for food, you know? So I know I'm walking into a good situation. Yep, me, I'm just looking for a sturdy chair, you know?
Cousin Ben said, oh, we lost Shane, you know?
Yeah, damn it. Mike, I could see it on his face like, damn it, I shouldn't have mentioned it.
But no, you're 100% right. I think down at all, the best barbecue I've ever had in my life. Probably the best Mexican too. So yeah, it's number one for food in the SEC, I think.
You also sent me some hiking photos, and I was like, and then you realize that that's not going to fly in the thread either.
All right, how about LSU, Shane? This is another one. Garrett Nussmeier, of course, obvious answer. Mm-hmm. Came back for a reason. Could be the upcoming number one draft pick. Otherwise, you know, quite frankly, that seems like it's been a curse lately, Shane. Some people saying you're going to be number one pick in the next draft. Seems like those guys always kind of bust. I hope that's not the case for old Garrett. But who's your number two for LSU?
Man, I've been picking this guy ever since he got in the league, and I just don't believe he's got the opportunity, and that's Berrian Brown. I know he may not be the best receiver. If you ask an LSU guy, they may not even think he's the best receiver in that locker room. But I'm telling you, man, you can't teach speed. And this guy is absolutely blazing from Tennessee. I believe he had the third highest 100-meter dash speed. You know, I mean, this kid's just electric. And he's not just special teams. He's going to be in that receiver. I definitely think Kelly's going to find opportunities to get him the football. And that electric explosive capability is the reason I got him at the top of this list, because he will get his yards. Kind of reminds me of a old school Percy Harvin, you know, just get him the damn football.
Right position, wrong player, Shane. Give me Aaron Anderson. He led the LSU in receiving last year, 884 yards. And he also returns kicks. So, again, if it's going to be a receiver, but, you know, you're right, Berrian Brown, he returns kicks too. I believe he's currently the all-time SEC touchdown kickoff return leader all time. So, hell, maybe you're right. But Aaron Anderson, he does it too, and he returns punts. So I think Aaron Anderson is one of the most underrated receivers. I think a lot of people think all those great receivers they have at LSU, I think they'd be surprised to know that he led the team in receiving last year. So, and he's back. So he's got that chemistry with Garrett Nussmeier.
Mm-hmm.
I think he's going to have a hell of a year.
Look at Perkins. Seems like his name's always popping up. If I had to pick defense, and nothing against Perkins, I love their chicken tender melts, but I would go Weeks.
Yeah.
I believe he has a little bit more, like game change. Nothing against Perkins. Perkins had a great start. Seems like they can't get him in the right spot or whatever, but man, we just keep saying that over and over again. I think he's a good player, but LSU cannot find a place to put him.
Mm. How about A&M, Shane? Again, Marcel Reed could be the option. Yeah. Most underrated quarterback. No, I swear I'm not going to say that for all of them. But I think he's very underrated. But if you had to go outside the quarterback position for A&M, who's your Heisman candidate?
This one was tough, man, because it's kind of a committee, but it's the running game for me. You know what I'm saying? We know what Elko wants to do, and that's run the damn football. And to do that, I thought they had success at it last year, and honestly, they kind of got away from it at times, and that's when I felt like they fell apart. So I have to pick one. Give me Moss. I believe that's your guy. He's going to have the most yards, most touches, maybe most touchdowns. And at the end of the day, that's what's going to win you a Heisman is crossing the goal line the most. So that's where I went. Yeah. Do you disagree?
I love it, Shade. The only problem, and you laid it out perfectly, I think they got a three-headed beast back there at running back. Yeah. So if they had just one guy, it'd be a runaway. But Moss is the leader for sure. Averaged nearly 6.5 yards per carry, Shane, in the mighty SEC. That's ridiculously hard to do. He had 10 touchdowns. I know he got banged up, but according to Mike Elko down there at the spring meetings, Moss is good to go. So that's fantastic news for the Aggies. They're going to need him right out the gate when they got Notre Dame coming up week 3. Got to make sure he's at 100% for that game, and that's going to be key to winning it. You know what?
Yeah, yeah, absolutely, man. I love – look at all these guys fighting over here. I love it. It's either you really like Elko or you absolutely hate him. You know?
I don't know how anybody can. I mean, I guess if you're a Texas fan, it makes sense. But I don't know that he said a lot of stuff that I don't know. I think he's one of the more likable guys in the SEC.
I think that's a great point. Maybe that's the list we should have done today is like the most likable guys. Mm-hmm. Like I wouldn't mind having a cold beer with Elko.
Right.
Like if you go over to Sark's house, I feel like he's going to be a little judgy. I'm not going to lie. He feels a little judgy. Like he's going to say, this kid disgusts me. Look how fat he is. That's kind of what I'm thinking about because I wouldn't eat some flan or something, you know, but I think Elko would probably have pretty good time eating barbecue and drinking some cold beer.
Yeah. But here's the problem with that, Shane.
Yeah.
I could see, you know, there's whether it's tacos, whether it's barbecue, whatever, there's like one piece left. You're eyeing it. He's eyeing it. I've been in that position. You just lay down, you give it to Shane. I don't think Elko's laying down. There could be a fight over that last piece.
There could be, but Elko's very smart too. You know, he doesn't look it, but the man's an absolute genius and he has already thought ahead. He's probably got two hidden somewhere. So he'd be like, you go ahead and have that. And then he's got a whole slab back there.
Right. All right. Well, how about South Carolina, Shane? Again, Heisman, obvious answer here.
Yeah. Who'd you go with?
What a beast Sellers is. But how about for a runner up, Shane? Again, this is, maybe not the best answer because it's some hype. You know, he's not quite lived up to it yet. He's still a young player, Shane. But give me Nick Harbor, the just incredible athlete, receiver. He's taller than everybody. He's faster than everybody. And he started to come on last year. He had, I got it written down, 26 catches, 376 yards, 3 touchdowns. Again, is anybody other than Sellers going to win a Heisman from Carolina this year? I think that's highly, highly unlikely, but that's just because Sellers is such a great player that I think he's going to get all the coverage, all the attention in terms of Heisman. So it's Sellers by a million miles, but maybe Nick Harbor, maybe it all clicks for him. And then all of a sudden everybody's like, good Lord, maybe they got the best quarterback and the best receiver in the country.
Well, and this is, again, this is a guy that's gotten a lot of hype since he was recruited, and we keep waiting, and he does. There's flashes. That's the thing about Nick is there's flashes. 'Cause I'm right there with you, Mike. I think this is your guy. And when you see those flashes, you look at a dude that could be an absolute beast in the NFL. So if he puts it all together, Sellers puts it all together, you know, if South Carolina has the success that we want them to, because we do, I'm not going to sit here and say I don't want South Carolina to be successful because Tennessee's not on the schedule this year. But I feel like this is the year that he's got to take that step forward and show that he's one of the best wide receivers in the country, and he does that. So this is a good one, man. This isn't far-fetched either.
Hey, Cousin Trey, you know, go back to you and Elko buying food. He says, that's like trying to steal food from a raptor. And then Liquid, Liquid's always, he's smarter than all of us. Just order another serving, which that would make sense. But buddy, yeah, no, I'm telling you, if there's one piece left, you got to give it up to Shane.
Elko, he's clearly one of those guys that tries to diet just like all us fat people do. But then he has those like, Let's just get wild this weekend, honey. You know, that's the weekend I want to be hanging out with Elko when he's just like, hey, listen, the diet's off. Let's go down here and grab some grub.
Well, speaking of grub, Shane, how about Mizzou? Who's that Heisman player? Could it be old Bo? Could it be Sam Horn? Certainly. But other than the quarterbacks, this is an interesting one. Where are you going for Mizzou?
Well, I mean, you think a drink. We got a little carried away with the wide receiver talk the last couple of seasons, but you got to remember, when Mizzou's good, the running game's good. And I went with Hardy here. You know, again, probably, you know, it's going to have a lot to prove, but this is a kid that has the ability to kind of establish that running game that Drink wants to do. And I think that's what they do. They lean heavy with this kid. He's going to be a bell cow. Give me Hardy because he'll have the stats.
Yeah, you nailed it, Shane. 1,351 rushing yards last year. 13 rushing touchdowns. Shout out, Cousin Gregory. Shane gave us a donation here. Hardy, running back Mizzou. But since the Jayhawk fans think we're scared, let's make this interesting. Winner of Mizzou, KU, gets to keep the Chiefs. I love that. I bet you many Kansas fans won't take that one, would they?
Yeah, so the Chiefs technically are in Missouri, if I'm not mistaken, right? That's the argument. They're not even in Kansas, even though they're called the Kansas City Chiefs. So back on Hardy real quick, you know, like you said, the guy had 1,300 yards last year, 13 touchdowns. Not a huge guy out as far as receptions. I think that needs to change a little bit, but if it does, and he becomes a bit of that passing game, man, that he may be the bell cow that they needed.
Hey, how about Cousin JP, Shane? He says Mizzou's Heisman winner should be the schedule maker. All right, we're seeing a lot of Oklahoma, Shane, in the comments. So Sooners, who is it? Of course, John Mateer. He's another guy's a gift of football, apparently. I think he's gonna be awesome, but I'm a little concerned. The hype is a little, you know, just getting a little crazy here, but that's got to be our guy. But who would be a close second for them Sooners?
Brother, I got a little excited when I found out Ott was coming over, and that probably would have been my first thought, but you know, we didn't get to see Deion too much last year, and this is a guy that has it. You know what I'm saying? If John Mateer gonna have a breakout year, then it's because Deion helped, and he's excited. The fans love him. This is the guy that really needs to shine this year. So give me Deion. The cool Deion.
Yeah, of course. Deion Burks, 245 receiving yards, 32 rushing yards, but injuries, horrible quarterback play, horrible offensive line. I mean, I don't know how the hell a receiver could produce with those issues. So Man, I'm kind of fascinated to see. He could be a guy that is just completely flying under the radar across the SEC. That could be a game breaker this season. I mean, hell, he could be a complete bust. I mean, let's keep it real. He was a bust last year, but again, I don't think that was his fault. But there's many players we could sit here and make all these excuses for, and then 2 or 3 years down the road, we're saying, well, hell, I think we just whiffed on that one. You know what I mean? So,
yeah,
a huge year for Deion Burks. I think he's a special, special player, but he'll show it. We'll find out this year.
Well, I want to give a shout out to Bingle. Thank you, Cuz, for the donation. Pribula had a 181.7 QBR last year, 179 overall over 24 games. Small sample size is double-edged sword. A single INT can ruin it. Go boo. So I think, what do you think about that? What do you think about that stat line there, Mike?
Well, I'm looking at his stats here, and
I mean, you got to remember. Okay, I'm not going to say anything.
I'm trying to see if I'm looking at. Yeah, okay. I was looking at. I mean, I just don't know how to evaluate this guy, Shane.
Yeah.
Those stats you just read. There, you'd look at it and say, "My God, this guy must be amazing," right?
Yeah.
He's never thrown for 100 yards in a game. Now, he's not been the starter either.
Right.
So, I mean, Joe Burrow, I don't think had 100 yards in a game at Ohio State. I don't think he barely played. And of course, he's maybe the best all time in a single season. There's a handful of guys you could throw that in there. But, I mean, let's just look at, like, last year, 19 yards one game, 83 another. His best was a 98-yard game. Mm-hmm. He had a 58-yard game. He had a 13-yard game. He had a 4-yard game. I mean, I don't know how to evaluate this guy. And they're keeping it. There was no spring game.
We don't even know if he's a starting quarterback.
I don't even know if he's on the team anymore. You know what I mean? They just don't tell us anything.
No, they're definitely keeping it hidden. But
let me ask this, because I think this is, again, you could throw out any stat you want. He's got this QBR, this, that, and the other. That's fantastic. But how about the fact that we know so little about him? Mm-hmm. Does that possibly help Mizzou? Because I think that's potentially a huge, not that you necessarily need it, but with this early season schedule. But I think that's a huge advantage going into this Kansas game. I don't know how in the hell Kansas is going to know anything about him.
Yeah, because I really think we could keep it vanilla, you know, obviously week one. And, you know, what Pribula, what he's going to be really good at is something they're going to tell him not to do week one, and that's run the damn football. So I feel like September 6th, they kind of loosen the reins, if you will. And it's not easy to practice for that. I mean, look at some of those Texas A&M games last year. You know, you can't mimic speed. And that may be the factor. But what I'm concerned with, Mike, is getting overhyped about a quarterback that may not be the guy. I'm not saying that he won't be, but, you know, that quarterback room is got some question marks. And or I think we would have had an announcement after that spring saying this is our cat. So that question mark could be used as an advantage at the start of the season, in my opinion.
And I think you hit on something important, because Missouri's done this before. I'm thinking back to trying to remember I can't remember the opener. I think it was a cupcake opener, and then it was Memphis. And I remember the fans got a little upset because they were like, I think they beat Memphis by like 10, but they were, and then the next week they played Kansas State.
Mm-hmm.
And that was the game where the kicker nailed the long kick, and it was a, you know, a huge, that kind of like turned the program around.
Yeah.
But after the game, they said, well, hell, we kept it pretty vanilla. You know what I mean? So they are known for not showing their hand, so to speak. So I think you absolutely nailed it. I think
they tried to do that with Vanderbilt, and it about bit them too.
All right. Speaking of Vanderbilt, let's do Vanderbilt, Shane.
Yeah.
Obviously, Diego, another God's gift to football. Some people not a fan, but I love the guy. But if it's not Diego, Who's your second option for the Commodores?
I went round and round here, and honestly, I don't know. I really don't know. I mean, I want to, I guess, I don't know. Who did you pick? I
got a good one here, Shane.
I passed Pavia, and I can't pick him. You know, who is the Heisman runner-up for the Vanderbilt Commodores here?
Yeah, Brock Bowers 2.0, Eli Stowers led Vandy in catches, receiving yards, touchdowns last year. Preseason All-American type. Again, is a tight end going to win it over a quarterback? Hell no. But I think he's their best player outside of Diego.
Yeah.
I also like the running back, Seth Alexander, of course. But I think I give a big edge to Stowers there. I think he's a unique player.
Yeah, that's a good one. I didn't even think about that. I mean, just the fact he came back, you know. I was like happy for them. So, yeah, let's go Stowers. That's a good one.
How about your Auburn Tigers, Shane? Is it going to be Jackson Arnold? Of course. I mean, who knows what we're getting out of him, but who's it going to be other than that? And maybe, hey, before you answer, Shane,
yeah,
the voiceover legend, Shane, JP is gifted a membership. What a guy, JP. He helps the show in so many ways, and he is gifted, Shane. Texas boy. Texas boy wonder.
Welcome to the family.
And cool name here, Texas.
Welcome to the family.
There's JP announcing you. Welcome to the family. Thank you, JP.
JP's Oklahoma, right?
Yes, sir, of course.
I guarantee he did not want to welcome that kid to the family. But we're glad he's here anyway. We all got that one cousin, don't we?
who you got for Auburn?
This one is another layup for me. Cam Coleman, this is the guy that turned it on late last year. This is the reason that I think Auburn is back, because he is going to take the top off plenty of defenses, big-bodied receiver. This is a guy that's going to be playing on Sunday sooner than later. So no doubt in my mind, this is the kid.
And I love Sooner fans, Shane, like cousin Jimmy here. Arnold's no shot to win the Heisman. I've made my peace about Auburn, but there may not be a guy I'm rooting for more this year, Shane, as an individual player than old Jackson Arnold.
Yeah.
Because I think he got completely, yeah, mismanaged and ill-coached, and they yanked his ass, which probably deserves it. But then he comes roaring back and gives you your best damn win of the season. You know what I mean? So, but yeah, the answer's Cam Coleman. He's freak show. 8 touchdowns last year, 598 yards. He may be the best. War Eagles is second best. He may be the best damn receiver. Just a true freshman last year. He may be the best receiver in the country.
Yeah, wouldn't blow my mind. I mean, this kid's absolutely huge. It reminds me a lot of, you remember AJ Green in college? Him. Yeah, yeah. Kind of had that same body type and just couldn't be stopped at times. So once he puts it together, one thing I love about Cam is just the separation. So you'll watch some of his highlights. Some of them are just air balls, and he went up and caught the football. So, you know, say what you want about Jackson, he's been known to throw a few of those, and that's going to, I think, come in favor for Coleman. That's probably why he's going to look for it more often than not.
How about cousin Ben over, Shane? He says Hugh Freeze would take credit for an Auburn player winning the Heisman. He said it, not me. All right. Yeah. How about them Razorbacks, Shane? Of course. Mm-hmm. Talon Green, so dynamic, so awesome. He's the obvious layup. But if there is an option bead for them Razorbacks, this was a tough one. But I think I got the perfect one. Do you have one here?
Yeah, and he may be the heaviest one I've picked so far. So give me big boy Braylon. Finally coming back. Decided to come back. Where's the number 0? That's my Heisman. You know, here's the thing. The kids showed a lot of potential last year, and I thought we were going to lose him there for a second multiple times. But, you know, the fact that he's came back, this is a guy that, golly, I mean, you could turn around, give him the ball 3 times, and as long as he's falling forward 3 of those yards, you know, he could stay on the football field the entire game. So this is a guy that I love to see. We're kind of getting away from these big-bodied running backs, but Braylon, he's my boy. That's my running back, brother.
Yeah, you nailed it, Shane. And this is, you know, it's Sam Pittman. This is who he wants to be, right? Mm-hmm. Tough offensive line, big-bodied. I thought, the bus 2.0. This is Jerome Bettis 2.0, Shane. We want We were making fun of Billy Napier. I think this is kind of the blueprint for Arkansas this year. Low scoring, control the game, ground and pound, and then have Taylen Green hit you over the top on play action. You know what I mean? So I think these two are going to complement each other. And hell, we know Taylen Green could, he'll take the ball and run too. So you always got to honor the edge, which I think helps Braylon Russell being Jerome Bettis 2.0 type there. I think he's primed for a huge year for the Arkansas Razorbacks if they can get the offensive line right.
That's it. Just get that line right. So if not, we'll put him on the offensive line.
All right. Well, speaking of getting the line right, Shane, how about Kentucky? Who you got there? And, of course, they got Zach Calzada. But I don't know. I think even the biggest diehard Kentucky fan couldn't see Zach Calzada winning the Heisman this year.
Truthfully, man, you know, this was another tough one for me, obviously. But if Coach Stoops is going to fix what's been broke, you get back to what was working, and that's when you got behind that big offensive line and you ran the damn football. So, unfortunately, I do think it will be more of a committee, so you're kind of picking which one that will do better. But Wilcox, McGowan, I it's going to be one of those guys, if not both of them. So I'll go Wilcox just because, you know, he is explosive, brother. I mean, I got to see it. What was it? Tennessee, Mizzou had over 100 yards in both of those games. This guy can be electric. And if Kentucky's going to get back to ground and pound, it's going to be with this kid.
Shane, did I ever tell you how smart you are? You nailed it, Shane. You nailed it. Wilcox had over 6.4 yards per carry, Shane. Only the two touchdowns. But again, he didn't get a ton of carries, 590 rushing yards on the season. This is what Kentucky wants to be. Run the football, be tough, be physical. They're going to need the running back to lead the way. So give me Wilcox. Give him the ball. Get the hell out of the way. Remember Benny Snell? I mean, how fun was he watching? You know, that's what Kentucky needs to be great. And Lynn Bowden, I mean, you know, a combo of those two. I know Bowden was a receiver, but yeah, they basically used him as a quarterback running back for a single season, and they found success with it. So we got to get back to that. You know what?
Yes, absolutely.
All right, last but not least, Shane, Mississippi State. Again, Blake Shapen's back. If we got any shot, it's going to be Blake Shapen leading the way, scoring all these touchdowns, throwing it all over the yard. But if it's not the quarterback, we're picking anyone other than quarterbacks, who's it going to be for them Bulldogs?
Damn, I was wrong about the 100 yards. It was Booth, wasn't it? I was like, it's one of these cats. Mississippi State is a tough one because there is a lot of new faces. But, you know, I really do think Lebby, similar to Heupel, to have the success, they got to get that running game going. And it's a three-headed monster back there, brother. So you're kind of throwing a dart, see who hits. And because of that, I'll go Booth here. So give me Booth for the Heisman for Mississippi State. Can we clip that?
I love that pick, Shane, but I'm going to roll with Cousin Sven here. He says, I expect the safety, Shane. Only Mississippi State guy who makes sense. SEC leader in tackles last year. I think he's going to get a lot of tackles this year, too, because I don't know how good their defensive front seven will be. So, yeah, again, Booth is an excellent, excellent option. How about
Sooner fans as punter. Damn. Ruthless.
Cousin Bendover, he's a classic, Shane. Mike Elko. Mike Elko. Mark Stoops, Sam Pittman, and Cousin Shane, all fighting over that last piece of brisket. Ooh. Who you got?
Oh, it's me. It's me, without a doubt. Yeah, I mean, no offense, Sam Pittman got a new hip, right?
He's walking 2 miles a day, he said.
Yeah, he ain't walking near my brisket, so I'm going to get him out of the way. That'll be an easy one. Coach Stoops, not as big as you think he is. Mike Elko's the only one I worry about because he is in good shape. I mean, for a big guy, he's athletic. So what I'm thinking is I've got to take him first. So use all my energy against him and then let the other two duke it out. So I'm coming home with that brisket. Okay. Coming home with it.
I trust you, Shane. When it comes to brisket, I trust you to come out on top. You know what?
Well, you know, it's funny. Big guys never get picked in a lot of things like dodgeball and football growing up. You know, basketball teams, when we had pick-ems, you know, the big guy's always the last one. But there was one day a year, Mike, field day. Did you ever, you remember field day? Did you have that at your school?
Oh yeah. Oh yeah.
And there was one event that I was always the top of the list. Do you know what that was?
I can guess it. It's probably the rope pull.
Tug of war.
Yeah,
absolutely. There is only one guy that I know that has been, because at the end of the tug, they had this like little circle that you get in. Mm-hmm. There's only one guy I know that has been in that circle every year he's been in school, and it's two thumbs at this guy. You may have your state champions, but I am the tug of war champ.
And then, hey, old Splendid Daddy, Shady says, why are we wasting time with this clickbait? Arch Manning going to win it. DSCC runs through Austin. Did so again. Yeah, we said that. We said Arch guys get to football, he's number one, but you know, there's gonna be other guys. And here's the thing, here's the thing with the Heisman. Here's another thing I hate about it, Shane.
Yeah,
it does. They do this every damn year. It's like whoever the favorite is right now, it's Arch, or I believe it's Garrett Nussmeier, then Arch.
Yeah,
they just tear these guys down. It's like they wait for them to have one bad game and then they say, oh, this guy ain't gonna win the Heisman, and then they always switch gears to like some damn guy that you didn't see coming, you know, like some Baylor quarterback or some, you know, it's seemingly every year. It's like the emerging player over the preseason favorite. Trevor Lawrence, again, he never won it. You know what I mean? Like every year he was the favorite to do it. They just tear you down if you're the preseason favorite. I hate that.
Splendid Daddy, he admitted he came in late, and that's okay. That's okay, Splendid. I'm glad you're late. And you know, it's funny, we put that article or that video out yesterday about Arkansas. And of course, Tennessee and Arkansas are about to play each other in baseball, and we were talking about points, and everybody thought points. It ain't points, it's runs. You know, they thought we're talking about baseball, and then they watched the video and they realized, oh, they weren't even talking about that. So I appreciate it.
We should start saying this: the Archanon conspiracy.
What's that mean?
Like QAnon, but Archanon.
Oh, I don't really know what that means, but yeah, I will agree. Maybe, if I should agree.
All right, hey, that's going to do it for this episode of the show, Shane. We got, I think tomorrow we're going to do mailbag. I mean, it never gets better than that, does it?
No, mailbag's fun. I love talking. Get those in. You can do that here. If you're a cousin, you're always going to get answered first. If not, get online, Twitter, any of those. We'll put it out on the official That SEC Podcast account. Just be sure to post that, and we will mention you tomorrow on the show. One of my favorite ones, just grab you a cold beer. Let's sit down. Let's have some fun. Let's talk a little college football and hopefully food, Mike, because I do like them food questions.
Yep, that'll be perfect, Shane. Can't wait for it. So that's going to do it for this episode of the show. We appreciate each and every one, especially Shane. It's the middle of June. It's summertime or spring or summer, whatever the hell time it is. And you're here watching this show, hanging out, talking SEC football with us. We can't thank you enough. And without you guys, there is no show. So we really do appreciate each and every one of you. And that's all I got. We'll catch you on the next
one. See you guys. Go Vols.
Hey, buddy. This beer's for you, Mike, and Cousin Shane. That SEC Podcast loves the Pirate, and the Pirate loves that SEC Podcast. Hail State.